Hello, and welcome to Living Proof, the teaching ministry of Joseph Castillo. We encourage you to listen to today's message over and over again, so that the Word of God will be in your spirit. Be a blessing, share it with your friends, and we pray that you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We also invite you to visit us online at www.anifbeijing.com.
And you know, to a sinner, when you're out there witnessing, all they hear, no matter what you're saying, all they hear is salvation. That's all they hear. You could be talking, you know, basically just kind of mumbling through, but they're hearing salvation. That's what they're hearing. Amen. So my wife, they had a wonderful time, and I had a wonderful time with Elder Randall. And then my son, Ethan, he came with us yesterday evangelizing. And it was cute because he was like, we're in the car driving to go witnessing. This is not my message. I'm just talking. We're in the car to go witnessing. And how many know when I come to church, I don't come in a hurry to leave? Amen. So we're not the, what you might be used to if you're from a Methodist tradition or something. But we're here and we're here. Hallelujah. Until the Lord says go. But, you know, so I'm just taking my time and share with you this little cute testimony. So we're in the car with my son, and my son said, where are we going? He thought we were going to, like, get Brahms or something to get ice cream. And I said, we're going to preaching. He said, okay. And then a few minutes later, what's preaching? And so we said, oh, well, preaching is like, you know, like telling people about Jesus. We're going to give out these flyers and invite people to church and go to pray for people, preach them about Jesus. He said, well, I can't do that. And I said, yeah, you can. It's easy. Come on. And usually he's kind of shy, too. And like when it comes to like meeting people and things like that, he's quite shy. So he got kind of quiet, and I said, you're going to come with me. You're going to go with me and Elder Randall. Because if I know if he goes with, you know, Pastor Robert, he's going to be goofing around. So I said, you're going to come with Daddy. So he comes with me, and he grabs seven flyers. He has seven flyers. And then he's like, now what do I do? And I'm thinking to myself, I wasn't expecting him to do anything. I was just hoping he would just kind of grab onto my pants and just kind of not run in the parking lot. That's all I wanted him to do, not run in the lot and get in front of a car. So he's like, what do I do? So I said, you have to give those out. I'm not thinking he would. And he's like, all seven? I said, yes, all seven. He's like, well, I'm shy. I don't know what to say. I said, listen, if you give all seven out, I'll buy you an ice cream. He said, wow, okay, Daddy. So he starts passing out the flyers to people. Excuse me. He's going up to people. Excuse me, giving them flyers. So he goes up to, so he's passing out the flyers, and everyone's like, oh, so cute. Everyone's like happy to take it from him, you know. So he's chasing down cars, trying to get them to stop to give him a flyer, because he wants to get rid of all seven and quickly get his ice cream. So there's this white truck that's there, and he's like, Daddy, I got three more. And I said, this is a white truck. He said, all right. So he runs up to the truck, and he runs into the window, and he looks, and it's this big Samoan guy with big curly hair, like an afro, you know, and his curly hair, and he's a big Samoan. So my son comes running back, like, he said, Daddy, no, you do it. I said, what's wrong? He said, it's a big monster in the truck. And I said, a big monster? Let me see. So I went up to the truck, and I saw this big Samoan guy, you know. So I knock on the window, and I'm like, excuse me, sir. And then when he saw that I wasn't afraid, he jumped in front of me, and he's like, no. He says, here, sir. He gives him the flyer, and the guy looks at my son. He's laughing, and I said, I'm sorry, sir. I said, but, you know, my son, he's trying to get rid of these flyers. I told him if he preaches to seven people, I'll buy him an ice cream. He said, well, I'm going to buy you an ice cream myself. So he gets out of the truck and he takes him to the store and he's so excited. And then he bought him a bag of chips. He bought him a Gatorade. He bought M&Ms. He kept on telling him, what else? You want some candies? You know? So he had all these chips and candies and Gatorade and he had all these things. And so here's my little son with his arms full of candy and this big Samoan guy with curly hair. And I said, brother, I have to take a picture of this. Can I get a picture? So I'll show you the picture next week because he has my phone. But I took a picture of it. I put it on my Instagram. So we are in a series here on covenant and on the blood of Jesus and on covenant, and we're talking about the blood. And let's turn to the book of Genesis chapter 4. Amen. Genesis chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 8 to 10. And we're teaching about blood covenant, the blood of Jesus, and things surrounding blood. Amen. Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. When you get there, say amen. And I'm reading from this version. I'm not exactly sure what this version is. This is Kenneth Copeland's New Study Bible. It's some kind of modern standard version, basically based on the King James, but in modern English. And we're going to look at Genesis 4, 8 through 10. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to bless our time in the Word today. We ask you, Father God, to speak through my lips, speak between my words, minister as an oracle of God to everybody here. Let them hear beyond me, let them hear beyond the text, and let them hear what you would say to your children. I declare everybody here, whether born again or not born again yet, that everybody here, Father God, will hear your voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Anoint me in these lips of clay to speak forth your word with accuracy, with excellency, and with boldness. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. All right, are you ready? Put your seatbelt down. Genesis 4, 8 through 10. Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And then he said, what have you done? The voice, watch this. The voice, say voice. Amen. Let's say it in unison. The voice of your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. Isn't that interesting? The voice of your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. Blood cries out something. So now here we have Cain. God's talking to Cain, and God says that the voice of your brother's blood is crying out. I would like for you to think for a moment, what was his blood crying? What was it saying as his blood was crying out to God? So the first point I want to establish to you is that blood has a voice. Can you say that with me? Blood has a voice. Blood has a voice. That's why the shamans use blood. That's why the witch doctors and the warlocks. Any warlocks here today? You wouldn't raise your hand. I guess you're not a good one. Because I'm not afraid of me being a Christian. So if a warlock or witch wants to come to church, you might as well say who you are. Otherwise, you're weaker than me. Am I right? Amen. Amen. If you're not here today, you'll be here soon. My friend, Prophet Charlie Shamp, told me last time he was in Tulsa, one of the chief witches in Tulsa called his hotel room. Knew his name, got his number, somehow called the hotel room. So I'm looking around my house with my gun, hallelujah. See if they found my address yet, hallelujah. Amen. Then one of the chief warlocks here in Tulsa came to his service, interrupted the middle of the preaching. So I said, praise God. I'm hoping they come here. Hallelujah. I'm waiting for them. Amen. Cast the devil out of them. If you don't have no demons coming to your church, then something's wrong with you. Amen. Because the Holy Ghost will draw them in to get them set free. Hallelujah. Amen. But when they hide, you know, shows that they're weaker. Do you hear me? But they use blood. The witches use blood. The warlocks use blood. Santeria. You guys are Latino? Where are you from? Boricuan. You know about Santeria. Mexico is brujeria, right? Santeria, brujeria. They have that in Puerto Rico and in Mexico. And in Mexico, they mix it with Catholicism. So they have the saints and the statues and the crosses. And then they light the candles. And they mix spiritism with Catholicism. And they do this witchcraft. I have a lady friend from Cuba. And her mother was brujeria. And she would do this witchcraft. She had the dolls with the pins in it. All kinds of stuff. And it was quite interesting that we were pastoring this church. And the daughter got saved. So the mom, who was a witch, got really upset. And she was so upset that she went to her leader, who was a witch, and they investigated to find out, like, how is the daughter got saved? Who's responsible for this? So through their witchcraft, the spirit had told them the name of the pastor. His name was Larry DeSantis. So the mother called them up and said, you stay away from Larry DeSantis. And this is like before Facebook. This was back in 2005, before Facebook. And we were shocked. Like, how did your mother know his name? But she got it through this witchcraft. And I said, well, praise God. You know, Paul, the demons told, said, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? Well, I want the devils to say, Jesus I know, Paul I know, Joey I know. Amen. So you want to make sure that you're known in hell. Hallelujah. Make sure that you're shaking things up. If you're not known in hell, you're not making a big enough difference. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. So the witches use blood because blood says something. Blood does something. Lester Summerall, when he was in South America, he was walking through the wilderness, and there was a shaman who was doing an incantation. He took the blood of a chicken, poured it into the mouth of a frog, and he danced around the fire. He drank the blood from the mouth of the frog, and he began to go off in this kind of demonic rant. And Lester Summerall walked right up to him, slapped one hand on his right cheek, the other hand on his left cheek, and said, come out! The man fell under the power of God, collapsed, foamed at the mouth. And after foaming from the mouth for about 5 minutes, he began speaking in tongues and was born again. Hallelujah. Amen. But they use blood because blood cries out something. Blood says something. Blood does something. Let's look here at verse 11. Watch verse 11. It says, now you are cursed from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood. So it's interesting here that the earth accepts blood. The earth realm accepts blood. Now that's interesting that we understand as Christians that when the blood of Jesus was shed, the earth also opened up and received his blood. And his blood, Jesus' blood, we understand was good enough to be received on earth as payment for the sin. Am I right? That the blood was good enough on earth to be received as payment. Because the earth receives blood. In other words, the earth realm responds to blood. So number one, blood has a voice. Number two, the earth realm responds to blood. That's why the mafia uses blood. Gangs use blood. You know, part of the gang initiation, many gangs, is that you have to get beaten into the gang. You have to be beaten until you bleed. Because the earth receives blood, and because blood has a voice, it speaks something. So we're seeing here the spiritual dynamic of how powerful blood is. Do you hear me? Somebody say amen. Amen. So blood cries out something, number one. Number two, the earth receives blood. The earth realm responds in blood to blood. And let's look here at Genesis 9:4. Turn with me to Genesis 9:4. Say with me, it's all about the blood. It's all about the blood. All this is about the blood. Turn here to Genesis 9:4. Look at this here. This is God dealing with Noah. He says that only you shall not eat flesh with its life. That is its blood. You shall not eat flesh with its life. And then he clarifies, at least in this version, that when he's speaking of life of the flesh, he's speaking about the blood of the flesh. Not to eat the blood. Now, I was a Jehovah's Witness, and they had not really understood the spiritual implications of the blood. And with the carnal mind, they just said, oh, abstain from blood. So, I mean, hey, you're Puerto Rican. You guys, Mosia, yes, a blood sausage. I mean, you know, if you're born again, I don't have a problem with you eating that sausage. Hallelujah. And in China, they make this tang, swan tang. This is a sour soup. Well, in Dongbei, they make this swan tang. It's a sour soup with cabbage and pork, and they put some blood in it. And my wife is safe, but she likes that soup. Hallelujah. So the Jehovah's Witnesses go to another extreme that you don't eat the blood. I don't know in Korea. Do they eat blood in Korea? Oh, so in Korea, they do too. You know, and you could be safe, filled with the Holy Ghost, and eat that, you know. Well, I'm not going to argue with that. But the Jehovah's Witnesses take it another level, and the Jehovah's Witnesses say, you should not even receive blood transfusion at the hospital. And many people have died that are Jehovah's Witnesses because they refuse to take blood transfusion. And the reason why is they're misunderstanding what God was saying here, what God is doing here, and they're even misunderstanding the full spiritual implication of what the Word of God is saying here and what this is about the blood. And so many Jehovah's Witnesses have died not accepting a blood transfusion. And that's why, and I was in that cult before I got saved. Hallelujah. Thank God I backslid, started smoking weed and drinking, and they kicked me out as the best thing that ever happened to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Got kicked out of the kingdom hall and got saved. Amen. So there's life in the blood. 9:4. Do not eat, he says, the flesh with the life, because the life is in the blood. So there's life in the blood. Say with me, there's life in the blood. There's life in the blood. And we know that the blood of Jesus, of course, there's life in the blood of Jesus. I hate bashing John MacArthur, but sometimes I like to bash him a bit because he bashes all the Pentecostals and he wrote a book called Strange Fire, you know. So but I like to bash him a little bit because I'm against his anti-charismatic teachings. But one of his interviews on YouTube, John MacArthur was saying there's nothing supernatural about the blood of Jesus. That's what he said. He said that the blood of Jesus was just a payment for the atonement of our sin, but there's nothing inherently supernatural about the blood of Jesus. And if you think about it, for a non-Pentecostal, of course he would kind of ration that. Because in our circle, the charismatic Pentecostal circle, we know that there's wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. We know that there's deliverance in the blood of Jesus. We know that there's healing in the blood of Jesus. We don't take communion as Pentecostals. And as we got it. Hallelujah. We don't take communion as Pentecostals just to remember Jesus. But we take it because we believe there's healing in the blood. Amen. Amen. So there's life in the blood. The earth accepts, in other words, let's say it like this. The earth responds to the blood. And when you plead the blood of Jesus, come on now. When you plead the blood of Jesus, you better know that this earth realm responds to that. But just like everything in the spirit realm, this is why, if you ever meet witches and warlocks, I met quite a few in Mongolia. I was attacked by one while I was preaching in Mongolia. He ran up to the stage and attacked me while I was preaching. And he was drunk as a skunk. I found out why, because the shamans in Mongolia, they have to drink a lot of alcohol. So they hujo, tamen hujo, and they get very drunk. And then when they're totally slam drunk, they twirl around and dance until they fall into a trance. And then when they fall into a trance, the spirit possesses them and they begin to do their curses and blessings or whatever they do. So this guy was, he was drunked up to come and curse me. And he came into the church and he was, you know, got up and started going crazy in the middle of the service. And it was my first time in Mongolia. I was just starting to preach there. It was my first time. And he rushes the pulpit and he runs up to me. And I saw him rushing at me and I responded just like God made me to respond. I jumped on him. I said, "Ah!" I jumped off the stage, tackled him, boom, you know. I did like a belly flop right on him, boom. We got rid of that devil real quickly. Hallelujah. Amen. I jumped on him, boom, belly flop, woof, right off the platform. I got on him. I started, "Come out of him, devil. I rebuke you. Shoot out of my..." I cast the devil out of him. And that was it. He was done for the rest of the service. Hallelujah. I left, came back to Mongolia a year later, and they said, "Do you remember that guy who attacked you from the pulpit that you jumped on and cast the devil out?" I said, "Yeah." They said he died 3 days later. And it wasn't because I jumped on him. You know. I know you think it's because I jumped on him. No. He died 3 days later. I mean, you can think what you want. I think it's because he dared to attack a man of God. That's what I think. But as he was dead in the hospital, this is amazing. This is in Mongolia. The family members who were at the church, who were Christians, they were at the church, and he came with them. So they were in the hospital crying because they thought, "Oh, no. He died, and he's not a Christian, and he's in hell now." They're crying. And some Koreans in Mongolia walked up to them in the hospital, and the Koreans said, "Excuse me, are you guys Christians?" And they said, "Yes, we are." They said, "Well, we're missionaries here. And God told us to tell you a message." And they said, "What's the message?" She said that whoever your relative is that died, God says he wants you to know he's in heaven with him right now. Hallelujah! Amen! So if the devil tries to attack you, just belly flop him and they'll go to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I was so blessed to find out that that guy not only got set free and delivered, and even though whatever happened, he died, but God said he's with me today in heaven. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. But I'm telling you, the earth realm responds to the blood. There's life in the blood. Now let's look here at Genesis 9, 5 through 6. And I want you to understand these things because everything, and this is my story. That man that I, you know, encountered, he was a young man, but he looked like he was 80 years old. He was a young man, but he looked like he was 80 years old. And oftentimes when you encounter witches and warlocks, they look very old. They don't look like Lucifer. Has anybody seen the TV series Lucifer? Yeah, I see all religious on me. Does not raise any. I know you see. Hey, I never watched it, but I've seen the advertisement, and it's a handsome guy. It's a handsome man. You know, Chinese love that show, Lucifer. They don't even know what it means, but they love the show because it's about this really handsome guy, whatever, you know. And so I have to explain to the Chinese that it's demonic, it's not good, whatever, and you shouldn't love Lucifer. Because Chinese don't know. Chinese will wear a pentagram that says 666 Lucifer, and they'll wear that walking around the street. They have no idea what it means. They just bought the shirt at the store. I met one guy that had a pentagram tattooed on his back and says 666, a Chinese man. And I said, "Do you know what that means?" He said, "No, not really. I just thought it was cool." Got it tattooed on his body. This is at the Hyatt Hotel. Unbelievable how the devil would try and get in and put his mark on people and try and, you know, influence them. And so you'll find that these witches and warlocks, they could be like, you know, young, in their 30s, but they look like they're 70s. Because when you trade in the spirit realm, in you trade and you begin to move in the spirit realm illegally, it costs your own life. You actually lose your own life. But when you're a Christian and you begin to move in the spirit realm, you begin to do so based upon the blood of Jesus. And you are invigorated. You are renewed. You can find some old saints and you wonder, like, why do you look so young? It's because the Spirit of God preserves. Hallelujah. Amen. When you trade upon the blood of Jesus, when you move in the spirit realm based upon the blood of Jesus, you keep your youth. Hallelujah. But when you try and engage spiritual things in the flesh, you lose strength, energy, life, and vitality. That's why witches often look old. Do you hear me? But there's life in the blood of Jesus. But there's life in blood, period. And that's why they use blood. Look at Genesis 9, 5 through 6. Watch this. Are you learning anything this morning? And the reason why I am going through this is not because I want to motivate you. I'm not a preacher that wants to try and motivate you. I am a preacher that wants to try and inform you, educate you, teach you. Because in all you're getting, the Bible says, get understanding. And like my brother here, what's my brother's name with the Hawaiian shirt there? The preacher. What's your name? Forrest? Forrest. Like Forrest Gump. Hallelujah. Wow. Amen. Well, like Brother Forrest said, you know, Brother Forrest, how many people from Rhema, Word of Faith movement, so forth, I hear that don't talk like you? I was so blessed to hear you. I was down at Brother Copeland's tent meeting 2-3 weeks ago, and everyone was sitting there with masks on. And Jesse got up, and Jesse Duplantis said, how are you Word of Faith people sat under Brother Hagin and Brother Copeland all these years and heard the Word of Faith and are locked up in here with your face tied on, mask tied up on your face? What have you been listening to? This is what Jesse Duplantis, don't blame me, don't curse me. This is what Jesse Duplantis said. Jesse said, what have you been learning these 40 years? How is it that after 40 years sitting under the Word of Faith, you've closed your church and you're just doing online services? Have you learned anything?
Careful.
And when you began to talk today, I said, well, that brother was listening. And you believe it. Hallelujah. You see, because these things only work to those who believe. If it's just theology, theology will kill you. If you try to walk on water with theology, you will sink. These things, the spiritual things, work by faith. Amen. And what I'm trying to do in this series, I'm trying to build your faith in the blood. I'm trying to build your faith in your covenant. And so that's why we're getting into this, because this thing only works when you have faith to work it. Amen. So human blood has a price. It's so important to tear these things apart, I'm telling you. And let me just tell you how important it is to tear these things apart. When I was going to Bible college, I was starting my new semester. A rash broke out on my arm. And I started getting all these, like, it looked like some kind of measles or something. And it started breaking out all over my arm. And then I asked my friends to pray for me. And then it went all over my chest. And I asked my friends to pray for me more. Then it started going up my neck, and I said, Lord Jesus, I'm going to be at Bible college, and they're going to avoid me like the black plague. I look like I'm diseased. I said, God, school's starting in a couple days. I can't go to school with all this rash on me. And Lord, my sister prayed for me. My friends from the church prayed for me, and it was getting worse and worse and worse. And I said, how come they're praying for me and nothing's happening? Doesn't make sense. I mean, and it shouldn't make sense to you. How many people have hospital ministry where they go and pray for people and they don't expect at all for people to be healed?
Right.
They just go pray to pray, but they're not expecting any healings. I'm not like that. I'm like, if I pray, it should happen. Amen. Why is this not happening? And so I'm praying about it. And the Holy Spirit's not speaking to me. But the rash is breaking out all over my body. But thank God I have learned enough how to deal with this. So I said, all right, I'm not going to depend on their faith. I'm not going to depend on them. I'm going to get with God myself. So I went down to the basement and I began to re-study. Say re-study. Re-study everything that I had learned in the past 5 years under Dr. Bill Winston of Word of Faith Church. I went to re-study everything that I thought I knew. And I went to restudy, and I studied Deuteronomy 28, the curse. I studied the entire curse. I studied Galatians 3, 13, and 14, how Christ redeemed me from the curse. I studied Psalms 103, how is the benefits of God, how he heals our sicknesses, and how he forgives our sins. And I just began to relook at how sin and sickness are always tied together. And then I went to Peter 2, 24, that says that by his stripes we are healed, that how he took our sin, and then by our stripes we're healed. And I saw sin and healing were tied together, how forgiveness and healing were tied together. And I began to study Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, and I saw how he took our sins in his body and he healed us, and how healing and how forgiveness of sins are tied together. And I said, and I got on my knees after about 2 hours of just meditating all these verses that I already knew, that I already could quote. I could quote them because Bill Winston makes you memorize 33 scriptures when you join the church. You have to memorize them. So I already memorized them. I already could quote them, but now I'm re-meditating them. And then I felt something go off in my spirit. And in my spirit exploded with as surely as I am forgiven, to that same amount of degree that I know that I'm saved, I am also healed. Yes. And I got up and I said, Lord, I see it now. Now I knew it, but now I see it. Yes. There's difference to know something and different to see something. Yes. I see it now. As surely as I'm forgiven, I'm also healed. Yes. And I said, in Jesus' name, you're totally illegal to be on me. Come off me in Jesus' name. And then I said, amen, because there was no more need to pray because I saw it. I went to the shower, and as I showered, all the measles came off my arm, all off my chest. By the time I was done with the shower, they were totally gone. Isn't that interesting? How I knew those scriptures, but nothing happened. How my friends prayed for me, but nothing happened. But once revelation went off in my spirit that whatever that was could no longer abide on my flesh. So we have to go back to these things sometimes. We need to go back to these things sometimes often. Just because you learned it in 1972 don't mean that the anointing is on it in 2020. You better get that back in your spirit again. Do you hear me? Amen. So human blood has a price, 9, 5 through 6. Let's look at this. He says this. And you'll understand. If you begin to understand these things, you'll begin to understand what's happening right now. If you begin to understand these things, and we were in Paris, France. You weren't with me. When I was in Paris, France, and we went down by the Eiffel Tower and went to this square where, who was that lady? Madame something? Or that French lady? She guillotined thousands of people. This French queen or something, guillotined thousands of people right there on the square in Paris, a few blocks from the Eiffel Tower. Queen Mary, Marie Antoinette, Bloody Mary. You realize how all that blood she was shedding was for releasing of demonic power in France. You begin to understand this thing. Because the enemy requires blood. Because the earth requires blood. The earth responds to blood. And that's why the only way God could redeem this thing was to bring again, had to be a blood. Had to be blood because that's what the earth responds to. But it had to be a higher form of blood. That's why witches in America, North American witches and North European witches and warlocks, and I don't want to get into this deeply, but there's a whole thing behind it I know. They like to use children because they believe the younger, the more innocent. And the more innocent the blood, this is why high-level witch doctors, do you know that in probably you shouldn't know, but I've studied this. But even when you get to top leaders of the occult, like Aleister Crowley, they taught the highest way to release demonic magic is to abuse children. Why? Because the more innocence that they could steal, the more innocent the blood is that they could shed, the more power they have. The more power there is in the earth. What was Cain's blood? He was a very pure man. A godly man. Excuse me, Abel's blood. Yes. So they were looking for that innocent blood. You understand me? So God knew that the earth would respond to the highest form of innocent blood in the universe. And that's the blood of the sinless man, Jesus Christ. Do you understand how this is? You understand how this is working now in legalities? Amen. That's why these occultists are blood hungry, especially for the children. We had to protect our children. Amen. I protect my children like a hawk. I told one guy, basically, by the way, you touch my child, I'll kill you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And I'll have a prison ministry. This is a guy in the church. Minister. I saw him touching, rubbing my kid's leg. I said, I'll kill you. And all of a sudden, he just backed away. Hallelujah. Ever since. Amen. And then demonic pedophile touch my children. We have to protect our children. Do you hear me? Because the devil wants to steal innocence. I, as a kid, was cut with a knife by my stepfather. 8 years old. My father would burn me with fire. He cut me with knives. He would put popcorn seeds on the ground. He would make me kneel on popcorn seeds and hold up dictionaries. And if my arms were to go down, he would beat me with the belt. Beat me with nunchucks. Cut me with knives. Burn me with fire. What was the devil after? He was trying to steal my innocence, trying to zap the life from the innocence of somebody who God would use. Amen. We had to protect our children. Amen. And that's why the devil wants you working 2-3 jobs, can't watch your own kids. That's why we can't live dependent on this world system. Where was my mom? Working 2 jobs. So while her son's being abused, my mom's working 2 jobs. Why? Because she wasn't a believer, and even believers are doing the same thing, because believers are still relying on their jobs for their income. And God does not want us to rely on our jobs for income. He wants to rely on Him for our income. And God can give you in one part-time job the same amount of money you're making working 2 jobs, if you believe. God can make it when you go to pay your electric bill. It's been paid. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So look at this. Human blood has a price. Genesis 9, 5 through 6. Am I preaching good or what? I know I am. Hallelujah. But for your own lifeblood. Look at this. For your own blood, I will surely require a reckoning. Look at how powerful this is. Watch this. From every animal will I require it. Of man too will I require a reckoning for human blood. What's it say there in the King James? Even for an animal. This is how far God goes, how serious it is. Even if an animal kills a human being, if an animal sheds the blood and kills a human being, God says, I will even require the life of the animal. Isn't that something? And let's look at the next verse, verse 6. Whosoever, even including as far as an animal, whosoever sheds the blood of man, by man his blood shall be shed. For God made man in his own image. Human blood has a price. Human blood has a price. And I even believe, I heard a prophet say, and I believe it, that this whole abortion thing in America is also has to do with the devil's desire to have blood sacrifice of innocent children. That's what's behind the whole abortion thing. Do you understand that? Do you hear me? Yeah, the spirit of Molech. Amen. Now, it's interesting when we begin to look at the blood. Let's take a look at Matthew 27. What did Abel's blood cry? Let's look at Matthew chapter 27 and verse 4. Matthew 27, verse 4. Is this too heavy for a Sunday morning? Hallelujah. You know, Christianity is a bloody religion. I tell you that. Even the amount of blood, I saw Benny Hinn teaching about the amounts of blood that had to be prepared and shed by the priest when they would kill the sacrifices, and they had to have buckets and buckets of blood. I mean, this is a bloody religion, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. But Americans, we don't even want to eat chicken if we see it in the grocery store. It has to be pre-fried and boxed, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Americans. But when I was down with Hal Jones in Hawaii, we had to kill the chicken, hallelujah. We had to cut the chicken's head off, drain the blood, dip the chicken in a hot bucket of water to peel off its feathers, and then we had to eat that thing. I was grossed out, hallelujah. But Americans, we're not used to this, hallelujah. But the developing world, they understand. Take a look here at Matthew 27, verse 4. Watch this. Watch this. Verse 4. Saying, I have sinned. Well, let's read verse 3 so you understand what's going on in the background. Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, saw that he was condemned and repented. Judas didn't think Jesus would be condemned. You understand that? Judas was shocked that Jesus was condemned. He was shocked that Jesus was crucified. Judas did not expect Jesus to be crucified. Judas was a thief. The Bible tells us so, that he was stealing money from the money bag. And so now Judas was short in the money bag. And Judas was responsible for handling the finances. That's why when Judas left the Last Supper, the disciples thought that he had went to go feed the poor because he was responsible for handling the money of the ministry. But he was stealing from that. And so now he's stealing from that and he was short. And we understand that because the Bible says that Judas was a thief. So he was stealing from the ministry's finances. So now he had been with Jesus for 3 years. And for 3 years, every time they tried to get Jesus, he would pass through the midst of them. They try and push him off the cliff, he would pass through the midst of them. They would try to stone him, and he would pass through the midst of them. They could not kill Jesus. Matter of fact, Jesus even said, "You can't kill me." And the disciples believed that Jesus, even up until the end, when Jesus said, "I have to die, I have to go, I'll come back." Peter said, "No, God forbid, no, I will not let you die. I will die before I will defend you." The disciples didn't understand that he had to die. So Judas thought he was gonna, Peter thought, they all thought he was gonna establish the kingdom. Overthrow Rome, establish the nation of Israel. They didn't understand that it was a spiritual kingdom he was going to establish. And so what happens is, Judas says, "I'm going to go turn Jesus in. I'm going to get the bounty, the 30 pieces of silver, and I'm going to replenish the money bag. They're going to try and get Jesus. He's going to say, 'I am he.'" Whew. They're going to fall out, and he's going to pass through the midst of them. But when they apprehended him, and they took him up to the Sanhedrin, and then they crucified him, his world was rocked. He could not understand what went wrong. Oh my God, am I responsible? Did I kill the Lord of glory? Oh, he could not handle that. So that's why he killed himself. He never expected that Jesus would die. And he didn't understand that he had to die. And that's why he killed himself. Do you hear me? So it says here, when Judas had betrayed him, he saw that he was condemned and he repented and he brought back the 30 pieces of silver. Why? Because he no longer needed to replenish the bag. There was no ministry to fund. At this point, he didn't need the money anymore because he didn't pass through the midst of them. So he brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, and he said, I've sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. Say innocent blood. You see, there's guilty blood and there's innocent blood. What did Abel's blood cry? Justice. Cry for justice. I believe Abel's blood cried, pointing towards Cain. I believe it cried guilty. Guilty. Guilty! Because it's all about the blood. Let's look here at Matthew 27, verse 6. Watch this. The chief priest took the silver pieces. Watch this. This is powerful. He took the silver pieces and he said, it's not even lawful. It's not even lawful. Verse 6. The chief priest got the money from Judas and they said, it's not even lawful for us to put this in the treasury because this is the price of blood. Has anybody ever heard of blood money? Blood money. This is blood money. They couldn't even accept it back because this is the price of blood. It's all about the blood. Remember in Genesis 9, 5 and 6, it said this is the price of blood. This is the price. Blood has a price. Let's look at verse 24. Let's go down here. Watch this. This is so interesting. Let's start at verse 21. The governor answered and he said, which of the two do you want me to release to you? They said, Barabbas. And Pilate said to them, then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? And they all said to him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil has he done? And they cried out all the more, let him be crucified. And we get to verse 24 here. But let me tell you what's happening. I don't know if everybody knows the story here. And we know Philip has only been, you know, in the Christian. Philip's story is beautiful here in the back. He's from Beijing. And he came to Oral Roberts University. He thought it was a dentist school because it said oral something. He didn't know it was a Christian university. But he got here and he got saved. And he met Jesus through going to school here. Hallelujah. He was supposed to go study in Germany. It didn't work out. And someone said, why don't you go to this oral school of oral dentistry or whatever? And he said, okay, I'll go there. And he went there. And he got saved. Hallelujah. Amen. So what was happening here, Philip, was at this time, they had a tradition in Israel, in the Romans in that time, that they would let one prisoner go free. So he said, who do you want to go free? Do you want to let Barabbas go free, who was a thief and a criminal? He was a leader of the insurrection. They were trying to overthrow Rome. Do you want this thief to go free, or do you want Jesus to go free? And they all cried out, let's crucify Jesus and let Barabbas go free. Now here's the interesting thing. Barabbas is a Hebrew name. It's a Jewish name, Barabbas. Is anybody here familiar with Middle Eastern culture? We have Asians here, but that's Far East Asian, not Middle Eastern. In Middle Eastern culture, they use certain names like Ben and Bin and Bar. Say Ben Bin Bar. Not Bim Bim Bob. Ben Bin Bar. Say Ben Bin Bar. Ben Bin Bar. Let me give you an example. Osama Bin Laden. What's that mean? Doesn't mean that he used to Bin Laden. It means that he's the son of Laden. So his name is Osama, son of Laden. Osama bin Laden. He also has a brother named Mohammed. His name is Mohammed bin Laden. Mohammed bin Laden. It's Mohammed, son of Laden, one of his brothers. So we also have these things with Bar and Ben. Have you heard of Ben-Hur? Ben-Hur, there's a famous movie called Ben-Hur. That means son of Hur, Ben-Hur. So Bar is also son of. There's also, what was the Israeli prime minister? Ben-Gurion. Ben-Gurion means son of Gurion. So Bar is also son of. So his name was Bar Abba. Does anybody know what Abba means in Hebrew? God. It means God or father. Even in Mongolian language, Abba means father. So they say Mongolia, Abba, use me. And that means father, your daddy. So Bar Abbas means son of God. So you had two sons of God. You had Jesus, the son of God. When Jesus' name was Yeshua, Yeshua actually means what? Jehovah's salvation. So we have Yeshua, Jehovah's salvation, the son of God. Then you had Barabbas, the son of God. But one man's blood was innocent. The other man's blood was guilty. So now Pilate says, who are you going to let go? The guilty son of God or the innocent son of God? And so what happens? Verse 24. It says this, when Pilate saw that he could not prevail, but rather that the unrest was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, watch this, I am, what's it say? Innocent of what? It's all about the blood. He said, whoa, wait a minute. I'm going to be innocent of the blood. Let me ask you, was Pilate innocent of the blood of Jesus? Was he innocent of the blood of Jesus? Because he washed his hand, was he innocent? Well, let me ask you another question. Are you innocent of the blood of Jesus? You see, Pilate thought that because he washed his hands, he would be innocent of the blood. But you don't. He didn't understand that all of us sent Jesus to the cross. All of us sent Jesus to the cross. It was your sin. It was my sin. We sent him to the cross. We are all guilty of that blood. And by washing his hands, it's like a woman who was abused. She would go into the shower. She would try and wash and wash yourself and try and get that shame off. But no matter how much you wash, you can't get that shame off. And no matter how much Pilate washed his hands, he would not be innocent unless he came under that blood that was innocent. See, it's only the innocent blood that could cleanse your guilt. Do you understand me? Barabbas represents all of us. All of us are seen in Barabbas. The guilty sons of God. And the guilty sons of God are only set free if the innocent son of God would be condemned on our behalf. You see, the gospel was even hidden in the things that took place around the death of Jesus. And so unknowingly, all of them became players in a prophetic drama that took place before he even was crucified. The guilty son of God was let go by the innocent son of God being condemned for him. The picture of the gospel right there. It was all about the blood. The blood of Jesus, as we shared last Sunday, the Bible says there's three that bear witness on the earth. And one of those three is the blood. The innocent blood of Jesus. I want to invite you to stand to your feet this morning. And there might be somebody here that you see yourself in Barabbas. You realize that you, like Barabbas, is a guilty son of God. But understanding that he was able to be set free, and he was able to go free because the innocent son of God would shed his blood on your behalf. Hallelujah.
We had to stop the recording at that point, but you might be listening right now and you say, Pastor Joey, I wanted to pray that prayer. If I was there, I would have prayed with you. I'd like to pray right now, as a matter of fact. I'd like to give my life to Jesus Christ. I would like to have God in my life, and I'd like to know Jesus as my Savior and my Lord and surrender my life to Him. You know, repentance means to turn away from your way of doing things and to turn to God's way. We've done things our own way, like they used to say in Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. When I did the 12 steps, they said, your best decisions and your best ways of thinking and your best ways to handle life have gotten you to this situation. And now it's time to trust a higher power. Well, there is no higher power than the God of all the earth. His name is Jehovah. And He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. And through Him, you can turn from your way of doing things to His way. And His way is the right way because He made you. And He made you for a purpose. And He knows exactly what you need to pull out your potential to forgive you of your sins, deliver you from the things that keep you away from God in a sin and death cycle. And if you'd open up your heart to Him right now, together with me, God can begin a new work in your life. So just pray with me wherever you're at, whether you're driving your car, whether you're at home, wherever you are, just pray with me and repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that your Son died for my sins. And on the third day, He was raised from the dead. From this day forward, I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer. I'd like you to contact me, and we can send you some more resources and materials that can help you start this new life, because this is the first day of the rest of your life. Email me at joe@nationsabroad.com or email the church at nfcontact@gmail.com. And we'd love to speak with you and just correspond with you and put you on the right path, maybe help you find some local churches there online or something, or maybe we know some pastors there that could follow up with you and help teach you the Word of God. Thank you for listening, and feel free to download the other podcasts and just feed on the Word of God.